I want to look tonight at truth and love. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. What is truth? What is truth? Jesus was asked that by Pilate. Pilate said, "What's truth?" Jesus said, "I came to bear witness of the truth." "What's truth?" he said. "What do you mean truth?" Okay? Now, truth is, first of all, let's start out with a lie. What's a lie? That's the first thing you want to figure out is what's a lie. Well, the lie is that man is good. The lie is that man could be good. Man is not good and he cannot be good. So there's a lie right there. So the lie is that, you know, apart from me, you can do nothing. But most people don't know that. Most people are still living in the world. I'm going to make a world. Here's what, when I draw the world, I always draw a pyramid like this. But it's never complete. It doesn't ever have a top to it. Now, they sometimes put the all-seeing eye in there, you know, make an eye like that. And, you know, make some kind of an all-seeing eye. But that's the world. That's the symbol of this world. It's called the Babylonian system. So the world is ruled by people that, you know, believe that man can make it without God. And you can't make it without God. He's the ruler. He designed it so that it doesn't work. Just like marriage. You think you can have a marriage without God? It won't work. What if one of you has it but the other one doesn't? It's not going to work. You can't make it work. You see? What if you have a church where some of the members are under God but some of them are not? It won't work. You just can't have it that way. So you got, and then even if you're under God and you're a Christian and you know you believe in God, you still have to be mature. And what if you're immature? Then you're just like a pagan. Immature people are just the same thing as pagan people. Christians can be just as jealous as the world is jealous, right? A Christian can be just as jealous as the world person is jealous. So, you know, the world doesn't have any monopoly on that. Christians are, sometimes they're liars. Has anyone ever met a Christian like that? There are Christians that lie. Can you believe it? And then there are Christians that are depressed. I mean, have you ever seen that? A Christian can be depressed. And then there are Christians that are vengeful. You ever notice that? I mean, they're Christians. They're born again. They might be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know, speaking in tongues, but they hate you. I mean, that's funny. Has anybody noticed that? I have. I've noticed that Christians can be the same as pagans. I mean, what's the difference? Okay, so there's a confusion. I'm going to clarify all the confusion. Well, Pastor, how much of the confusion? All of it. I want to clarify. I'm going to make it really simple. Truth, God is love, right? And God says, speaking the truth in love. So that's something apparently that we can do, but not if we're liars. So the first thing you have to do is stop being a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every man is a liar. Everybody that's born into this world is born a liar. Did you eat that cookie? You know, and the crumbs are just coming right. They're liars. Who did that? You or your sister? You know, and people are just liars. So that's natural that man will try to escape being guilty. You know, I don't want to be the guilty one. So God will say, "Did you eat that apple, Eve?" Mm-mm. Adam, did you eat it? Mm-mm. The woman, she did that. And Eve will say, "Eve, now, why'd you eat that apple?" "It's a snake. He did." So everybody's always blaming somebody else, excusing myself, accusing someone else, and you end up accusing God. God's not silly. Like any parent, you can figure out the little kid is lying. Parents are sharp that way. This is especially why you need two parents, because little kids are good liars. They will lie, and you got to have two parents to catch them. You get on that side, I'll get on this side, you know. And that one little kid can beat two parents. You can just barely get past that little kid. So little kids are just natural liars, natural born liars. All right, so the lie, that's where most people are. And here, I'm going to just tell the whole story here. You've got to repent of that, all right? So I'm going to make a line of repenting, okay? So you got to get over the Red Sea, you know, get out of Egypt. The pyramid, that's like Egypt. That's like this world. I want a better pen. So we need to repent of everything that's in this world. Put no hope in this world. So the first thing you need to do is repent. So R-E-P-E-N-T. What does repent mean? It means change your mind. Sorry, I have to change that box. All right. Now, repenting is only the beginning. Most Christians have not repented. Okay? Most Christians have not repented. Most Christians have what I would call kind of like a psychological repentance. Like they go like this. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I'll be a Christian. Well, that's not repentance. Repentance means not psychological. It has to be spiritual, where you realize everything about you is evil. Everything in the world is evil. Okay, there's nothing good. No good thing dwells in man. That's repentance. And I'm not just saying, well, I did a sin or two. Finally caught up to me. I repent. That's not repentance. That's just feeling bad about getting caught. You're not really repenting of the evil you did. You're just basically saying, I'm a nice guy basically, but I did a few bad things. That's not repentance. Repentance is, there ain't no good thing in me. All the good is God. None of the good is me. I mean, we'd get along a lot better if we just admit that. We would get along a lot better if we would stop judging one another. You sinned. Well, the person pointing at you has one finger pointing toward you and three fingers pointing back at himself. So you've sinned three times as much. So you can't judge other people. With the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Right? Y'all, you're familiar with this, but apply it to yourself. Don't think about somebody else. Just apply it to yourself. There's something wrong with the church today. The church, the Christian church, is not Christian. The Christian church is not Christian, except for our church. Our church is okay. But the Christian church is not Christian. So there's something wrong. We're supposed to be getting out of the world, out. Ek, out. You're supposed to be getting out of the world. So this getting out and repenting is, here's the world over here. Here's the world. World. Egypt, whatever you want to call it. That's the way you're born. Everybody's born in sin. Everybody's born right here. We're all liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. Here we are, all liars. Now, some come out. Okay, so here's some come out and they repent and they admit it. God, I am wicked beyond measure. Save me, help me. All right? And God says, no problem. So God now says, just believe on me. And so everybody emphasizes then, this is the Christian walk. Those that repent and believe. Okay, so I'll make this number one. Number one, make this number two, and make this number three. And most people quit right there. That's the problem with the church today. The problem with the church today is, oh, I'm saved by faith alone. I'm saved by faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross. I believe that he loves me. And that's where the churches stop, right there. Very, very few churches teach anything more than that. Repent, get out of the world. Okay, now I'm that number two. Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so I repent for my dead works. I believe on God. I believe on Jesus Christ as my hope through his blood, died on Calvary, covers my sin. So that's called imputed righteousness. So this righteousness by which I am now saved, so this is saved here. But it's not. This is saved. We call this saved, and it is, but it isn't. It is, but it isn't. What is? Why do I say it is, but it isn't? Because it's imputed, meaning God says you're okay with him, but it's just spiritual. That's just your spirit, man. It has nothing to do with your soul or your body. Okay? Soul and body are still out here. So we got some more boxes here. Soul, body, my life. All right, now, so God wants us to go on to 3 and 4. I mean, 4 and 5. There's the problem right there, is that we're not going on until we're mature. We're just starting out as babies. So, yes, you're spiritually born again. Born from above. I'll say born again, but it's really not born again. It's really born from above. The Greek word anothen means from above. It doesn't mean just born again, you know, born a second time. But that's what it is. It's born again. But it's born from above. Just being born again doesn't make any sense because that's like reincarnation or something. No. No, this is born from above, born from heaven. The first birth you had was an earthly birth. And that birth is in number one over here. That's what you got to repent of. The way you're born, if you're born once, you die twice. If you're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. So you got to make a decision. You want to have two births and one death, or do you want to have one birth and two deaths? Think about that. If you're born naturally, you're going to die biologically, and then at the judgment, spiritually, you're dead. But if you're born twice, you don't have to die but once, just biologically. Then you live forever, right? And the way we live then is by repenting of number one and then believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Okay, but the saved doesn't mean saved. It means saved spiritually, but not psychologically, not behaviorally. You're not yet matured. You know, yes, you're out of the world. Yes, you're no longer part of the world, and you're saved. But you know what? That's never what God wanted. He didn't want us to be threes. He always wanted us to be fives. God never intended for you. Everyone's born in one, all. Only some make it over to two, some. And then only some of those some believe, three. And only some of those some believe and are sanctified. That is, their mind is renewed. Their soul is separated from their spirit. However you want to say it, you've got to die here. I'm going to put a little cross right here. Now, here, I'm going to die. I'm going to make a red cross here. I don't even have any red. Somebody stole all my colors. All right. Here's one. Oh, yeah, here's one. All right. I'll put Jesus' cross here. Okay? Here's Jesus' cross, but here's my cross. Two different crosses. I'll make them both red. No, I'll leave it like that. All right, now, the fact that Jesus died, I believe on that. Jesus died, but that's imputed righteousness. It's not actual. Here is actual. This is you actually dying. The only purpose of Jesus dying for you is that you believe so that he could do these two things. This is the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do. Will and do. Will is character. There's your character. That's your inner character, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, that kind of thing. And do is obedience, where you're actually really, truly, truly, truly in this world obeying Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you're becoming like Christ, not just by faith, number three, not just repenting of this world, not just believing on Jesus, but actually doing the will of God. Well done, good and faithful servant. So here, the pastors don't talk about these two because they don't want to. You know, and if they do talk about doing something, it's usually pay your tithe. You can see pastors are big time into kind of a legalistic doing. So most churches, when you go there, if they want you to do something, it's pay up. You know, attend. We had 4,722 children this morning in Sunday school. And that's doing to them. What does that have to do with maturity? What's that have to do with Christianity? Numbers is not growth. But that's what most churches are into. A healthy church is one that has a big building, you know, full parking lot, nice Sunday school, stained glass windows, Starbucks, you know, and so on. That's a healthy church. Ours is a hole in the wall compared to that. We hardly even qualify. We don't even have a Starbucks. We don't even let you drink coffee. That's a sin. So, you know, we're nowhere. We've gotten nowhere. Now, the problem is, why build one of those things when it's all in vain? That's a worthless kind of church. It's just a 1-2-3 church where, okay, we're all saved, we're all saved, we're all saved. Well, I know, but the only reason you were saved was so that you could be sanctified. And the only reason you're sanctified is you could be glorified. So sanctified is 4 and glorified is 5. Sanctified and glorified. That you will give glory when they see your good works. Here's something you do. Good works. That's glorification. Here's glorification here. Now please don't imagine you're just going to, you know, read what I've written down here and then kind of believe it. You got to write this down so you get it. It's for you. Here I want. That's the same thing as saying will. I want to be a Christian. I want to be, you know, a holy person. I want to be like Christ. I want to be a Christian. Well, that wanting isn't doing. Here, I'm actually like him. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm led of the Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit, HS. This is a real thing, not just something believing, not just something willing, but actually doing. So there's three different parts here to after you repent of the old, you actually then have to believe, and then you want your character changed. You want to actually become like Christ in your soul. So here's your soul. This was your spirit. Here's your spirit. Here's your soul, and here's your body. So, and not only that, but God wants to hook you up with other people so you have a real church. You know, so a church should be made up not of threes, not even of fours, but a church should be made up of fives. The reason why we don't have any churches today that look like churches is because we don't have any fives. Are you with me so far? It's simple. It's just ABC, simple. But I'm just telling you, this cuts across every church. It cuts across all the churches. We're not doing this. We're not even, pastors don't even know about this. It ought to be ABC, but they don't even know about it. I'm not critical. I'm just simply stating a fact that most of you do not know that what God wants you to do is to be completely dead to this world. If you keep your life, you'll lose it. You got to lose your life. So number four up there is unto death. How many have come under pastoral authority? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't do this apart from a pastor. You need to have apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. So here's where most people stop right there. I'll make a green. This is where most people, they stop right here. And if you want to have a big church, stop right there. You want to have a little church like we do, try to go beyond that. Try to go beyond that. You'll have a little bitty church. It's kind of like we got. Look how pitiful. Look around. Look how pitiful it is. Look at the people in this room. It's pitiful. Just look around. That's a pitiful thing. Well, that's because we went beyond the normal. See, we're going into new territory here. No, we're not. That was the original idea. Jesus always wanted us to be dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, this is good teaching, but it's really bad for church growth. If you want to be in the church growth movement, stop right here. You know, just barely get out of Egypt and then camp out. You know, do not take people into this one, because here you have to submit not only to God, submit not your soul, submit your soul to God, but you also have to submit to pastors, to God, and Pastor Jim. I'll put myself up there. To Pastor Jim. Ah, there's the rub right there. God's okay, but Pastor Jim stinks. Well, yeah, I know, but you're not going to grow without Pastor Jim. See, God set it up so you really can't perfect yourself without pastors. Well, I don't like him. Well, I know, but you're stuck. You know, you can go somewhere else, but they're not going to teach you the truth because they don't want you to suffer. I want you to suffer. I'm into it. I'm big time into it. You know, it's just like raising a family. Children don't just grow up because they're, you know, born. Number three is born again. But, you know, so you bring a child home, lay him in the middle of the floor and say, there's the fridge over there, there's your bedroom over there, you know, go for it. No, they need some discipline. They need someone to take care of them. Feed them, clothe them, lead them, you know, doing all that stuff. That's my job. We didn't just bring people to church and then now you're saved and it's over. No, that's just the beginning. Now it's going to be spanking and teaching and correction and discipline and rod and staff and all that stuff. Amen? Well, you can see why people would flood out of a place like that. It's just like in a marriage. You know, if you got a divorce, you want to go with the parent that'll spoil you. You know, you want to go with, you know, and dad will sometimes, you know, you really spoil them, and then mom will be the disciplinarian and so on. The kid can go favor for God, for the dad. It's natural. Well, you go to other churches, they'll do whatever you want because they don't care that you grow up. But I do. I want you dead to this world. I want you dead. So that, there it is, you know. You can just see almost the finger of God, you know, got you nailed. You're going to be dead. See, that's good. That's what you want. The truth will set you free. Now, what is truth? What I just did right here is truth. I'm going to show you the truth. Truth is not just a word. Speaking the truth in love. Remember, this is the world, and God brings you out of the world. How do I get you out of the world? All right, we'll make blue the world. Okay. Now, God gets you over the Red Sea. Okay, over the Red Sea. And then you go into the kingdom of God. But before you get there, you have to go through the wilderness. This is the wilderness here, this green box. So I'll make green on either side of this. Here's the point that nobody wants. That's why we never get to five. You can't get to five without going through four. See? So I got to get everybody here, and nobody even knows about it. And they don't like it when they do know about it. And you know, they want to go to another church where they just stop here. But, and the reason is, nobody wants to go through the wilderness. So this is like the wilderness where, you know, there are sand and hot sun at daytime and cold at night. So this is the desert. This church is like a desert. We don't have Starbucks. We don't have bowling alleys. We don't have anything interesting. And so it's kind of like, you know, wandering through the desert. And you're just disciplined and told you're evil and bad and nasty and no good and repent of your sins. And, you know, just it's hell to pay. Amen? It's just awful. And that's, I'm telling you, that's what you need. You need a spanking. You need to be chastened, disciplined. Could I hear an amen? Well, a little bit of lack of enthusiasm, but let's try it again. What you need is discipline. What you need is the father that loves his son chastens him. He chastens him, beats him. He smashes him to smithereens till he doesn't have anything except the will of God. He turns his will over to God. Then he turns his emotions over to God. He turns his mind over to God. He turns his life over to God. Says, Jesus, whatever you want, I'll do it. I'm in the army of the living God. I'm going to serve God. This is why we, you know, you might think because we're almost going out of business now and the church is almost, you know, over and end of the world's almost come. You might think we're out of business. No, we're just getting to the good part right now. It's now time to get ready for battle. You've been lazy long enough. You've been, you know, coddled and, you know, so now it's time for getting beat up. How many know it's neat to hear about Jesus being beat up? But the Bible does say these words, take up your cross and follow me. Well, I don't like that idea. Follow Jesus? No. And it's my job to kind of, you know, encourage you along the way. Come on. Come on. You're almost dead. You're getting closer. You need a few more beatings. It's okay. You know, I'm the guy that's encouraging you. Laugh. Rejoice. It's good for you. Come on, another spanking will be good for you. You see, that's my job. You can tell it's a thankless job. You can tell it's a thank. These guys in number three, they're the big church guys. They're not spanking their people. They're letting them go, spoiling them, spoiling them. I'm telling you, this big church, it's all, you know, nice bathrooms. That's what you want in a church, nice bathrooms. You can just go in and check out a church, see if it's good. Check the bathroom out. Man, you should see the potties in there and so on and so forth. And that's how you know that's a great church. Ours are just, they're just, you know, but it's not as bad as Africa. So, you know, but praise God. But I'll tell you what, you don't grow in a spoiled environment. You need to come under discipline. It's like going into the army. There's no TV there. You go into an army, you're there to be killed. You're there to die. You got to pay. In fact, anything valuable in life, it's going to be tough. And we're raising children today that are spoiled. And a little bit, you know, the smallest trouble. My hair dryer's broke. I mean, they're just, you know, I mean, you know, your hair dryer. Yeah, life's awful. I'm going to kill myself. You know, just because a hair dryer won't work. But that's what people are into these days because they're so spoiled. This is a spoiled generation. Hello out there. My husband doesn't love me. Have you ever heard that one? So? Forgive him. Cook him breakfast. What's the problem? Well, he doesn't love me. So what? J. Jesus loves you. Why do you have to have a husband? I mean, you ought to be glad you just have one. He's a pervert. So? What other kind are there? What are you talking about? My wife doesn't respect me. Yeah? I mean, why is that interesting? Your problem is not with your wife or your husband or your children or your boss or the world. It's with Jesus. Jesus wants you dead so that he can live through you. He wants your life handed over to him. Amen? Now, I told you that truth has three faces. I didn't, but I just said it now. Truth has three faces: holiness, mercy, and power. All right? Now, the three faces is that God wants you to be, first of all, his holiness is going to convict you. Okay? So when, here's unholy over here. This is an unholy, godless, lawless, unholy. Unholy, I'm going to say lawless. No law, not under God's law. Okay? But you can't get from one to two except through dying. You have to repent, change your mind completely, and then believe on Jesus, and that's the first kind of spiritual death. So you have a spiritual death right here. That's a death right there, but it's a spiritual. All right, you all there. Spiritual. Spiritual death, all right? Now, that spiritual death, that's the secret then to being born again and not part of this natural world, okay? So believing is spiritual death. But now you also need a soul death, and finally you'll have a body death. But really, what he's after is not your physical death. He just simply wants you to be a living sacrifice. So that's number five. Number five is to be a living sacrifice. Remember it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, offer your bodies as living, that means you're still alive physically, sacrifice. Now a sacrifice is something killed. But a living one means you're alive, but you give over your whole self to God. How many are there already? How many are already perfect? You're already mature. You're already just like Jesus. Yes, right there. Praise. No? You were just saying that? Okay, you were wanting to be that. You were thinking of your father. Okay, so, you know, being spiritually dead, that you can have just by believing on Jesus. You can be spiritually dead just by believing on Jesus. But to be psychologically dead means for me to give over my life to Jesus and say, Jesus, I have no emotions except the ones you want me to have. I have no thoughts of my own. I'll take every thought captive to the Word of God. I have no will of my own. Not my will, but thine be done. That's spiritual death. But that's psychological death also. That's what he wants. Not just to believe on Jesus, but actually do it. Actually do it. Say, God, I don't have a will of my own. Where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to say today? What should I say to my friend? What should I say to my enemy? Well, you have to check it out with Jesus. Because right away, I have my own ideas. Hey, you can't get away with that. That's my kind of thinking. Right there. You hit me, I'll hit you first. You know, and that's my thinking. But Jesus will say something different. I got to check with him. Jesus, what should I say right here? What should I do right here? And every day, that's your prayer. God, what should I say? What should I do? God, what should I say? What should I do? When should I get up? Should I even sleep? Maybe I should fast today. You got to ask him. How many know that there's hardly anyone coming under his lordship? He doesn't have any people. He hardly has anyone. He just have them believing in Jesus, believing in Jesus. Ah, I go to heaven now because I believed in Jesus. Well, that's number three. But that's just the beginning. But it's not he who begins. It's he who endures to the end. You've got to endure to the end. There must be an end. Five. So now, the problem is that pastors aren't teaching this. I don't blame you. I'm not blaming you. I blame me. I blame pastors. I don't blame you. No one's even teaching it. How can you believe unless you hear? But how can you go on to 4 and 5 unless somebody's teaching it? You've got to have a pastor who's ready to disciple or discipline or chasten or, you know, spank the people that are here. So you've got to submit. Submit yourself, your soul. Oh, I wrote down self twice there. You got to submit your soul to God. And then also, God says, you know, and I want Pastor Jim to help out a little bit on this one. Now, that's part of the humor of God. I think that's funny. Because it's part of my job to serve God and to help you grow here instead of staying over here or just over here or just over here. I got to move you on till it says in the Bible in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says that we need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors who are indeed teachers. Now, a pastor who's a teacher doesn't mean he teaches. It means he actually transforms you into the image and likeness of Jesus so that you're just like Jesus. That's the real job of pastors. That's why pastors don't do it. And they don't do it. They're not going to do it because people, I don't know, if you go to kill people, they resist you. You know, and you just go to choke them and then they just fight right back. For some reason, people don't want to die. And I know why. Well, they don't have any wisdom. They don't realize the best thing could happen to you is that you die and let Jesus live your life. In other words, you get out of the way and let Jesus have everything. Let's say I'm hungry and I go, I'm hungry right now. And Jesus says, well, check it out with me. Yeah, but I'm hungry. Well, I got to check it out with Jesus. Jesus, am I hungry right now? No, you actually want to fast. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know that. How many know you have to ask Jesus if you're asleep at night? You have to ask Jesus what kind of toothpaste to buy. No, not that. I'm getting a little silly there. But the point is that if Jesus is Lord, then he's Lord. You don't as a servant, do what you want. You have to do what the master says. And so we're not used to having kings over us or lords over us or masters over us or someone over us because the rulers of this world lord it over us. But in the kingdom of God, they serve us. My job is not to lord it over you. My job is to serve you, to serve him. I'm not wanting you to follow me. I'm wanting you to follow him. And so you say, well, Pastor, could you just leave us where we are? No, I won't. I want you to grow up in every way unto Christ Jesus the Lord. I want every man to be mature in Christ. I want every woman here to be mature in Christ. I want everyone to be mature in Christ. Why? Because that's the goal. Now, will I build a big church that way? I don't know. I don't even care about such things. I don't care if it's big or small. I mean, this is a great size for me. It's doable. I can spank most of you, you know. So it's good, but if I had 1,000 people, it'd be hard because you'd be worn out. Spanking that many people. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't do it. But if you know, just Jesus had 11, 12, but he lost one of them. So apparently about 11 is about, that's about it. If Jesus could only handle 11, I don't think I could do much more. I doubt that, you know, you can have that. That's why families aren't that big. You all understand what I'm saying? So we need to have more pastors here that are doing spankings because we have an awful lot of people to spank every day. Hello? Am I confusing you? No. Because until you are disciplined, or the father that loves his son chastens him, until you're chastened, you're going to be too strong. I'm telling you, there, if you'll think about this, there are people in this church, think about it, that are too strong. Can you think of anybody? Raise your hand if you can think of anybody in this church that's too strong. Now I'm going to ask you a simple question. Is that person you or somebody else? It's you? That was the right answer. You know, the only people that are too strong in this room is you. You're too rich in the spirit. Jesus said, blessed are those that are poor in spirit. We're full of ourselves. We're just full of ourselves. We're too strong. We have too many opinions, too many ideas, too many wants, too many desires. Well, I want this. Well, I want this. I know, but you're in the kingdom of God now. You just do what the Father wants. Everybody does what the Father wants in the kingdom. It's not your will. It's his will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Whatever the Father wills, that's what we will. Amen? Amen? I mean, let's say it. Don't think about it. You won't never get there. Just say it. I want to do the Father's will. And by gum, I'm going to do it. I don't know what gum is, but the point is that it isn't just a matter of wanting. That's number four. It's actually doing. You have to do the will of God. And most of us won't even say it, let alone do it. We don't even want to say it. Father, this is a new day. I am here now to do your will. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to think, I'll think it. Whatever you want me to feel, I'll feel it. Then you get into an argument with somebody, and right away you're feeling your own feelings. You know what I'm saying? You have to give that up. Here's what Jesus wants you to feel. You don't even think about it. He wants you to feel like this. Rejoice in the Lord always. So you always have to feel that. Joy. Well, Jesus, when do I get to feel miserable? You don't. Oh, foo. Look what so-and-so did. That's a miserable feeling thing. No, you don't get to feel miserable. You have to rejoice always. You always have to give a good report. In God's house, it's different than in the world. In the world, people can get mad. But in the kingdom, nobody can get mad. Hello? Yes. Yeah, so what she asked is, if I psychologically feel it, is that all right? Yes, if you don't let that rule. In other words, as soon as the feeling comes up like, I hate you, as soon as you have that kind of feeling, has anybody ever had one of those? I hate you. You know, as soon as you have that feeling, that's okay to have that. You just can't keep it. You have to not let that rule, okay? Because the next word out of your mouth and the next thing you're going to do with your hand is bad. So you have to let Jesus rule you and say, instead of striking that person, bless them. You know, it's just like, wow, Jesus, I was thinking of something else. Yeah, I know why your thought was wrong. So what you're feeling is wrong, what you're thinking is wrong, what you're wanting is wrong. I just want vengeance on that one. Well, that comes easily to the people in the world. But now you're in the kingdom of God. You repented of the world. Yeah, but it's hard. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Just die. It's not so hard when you're dead. Dead people have no problem. They don't ever get angry. I have never yet seen a dead person get angry. Never. You can actually go up to a person that's dead and kick them right in the back like that. And they don't even say anything. I mean, they say nothing. You see, that's dead. That's why you need that. Because sometimes people can press each other's button. Bzz, bzz, you know, and you'll just be in a button press war. You see, you can get my goat, I can get your goat. You see, people know what to do to irritate one another. Does anybody notice what I'm talking about? I mean, it just seems like, boy, I knew you were going to say that. You know, and then you're right there ready to fight. Amen? Well, in the kingdom, you don't get to do that. You go like this. God bless you, sweetheart. I appreciate that criticism. I appreciate that. I needed that. That was so constructive. I know you didn't do that to destroy me. I know you did that to help me. Thank you very much. You see, like that. That's the way it is in the kingdom. We're always blessing the other. We're never defending ourselves. We're never threatened by somebody else. When someone says something negative, we turn it into a positive. Amen? What if somebody says, I hate you? Then you just turn that into a positive. What you meant to say was, you love me. So you just turn that into a positive. So I remember one day we were driving back from Rhode Island, and Peg turned to me, and I was with her. Parents had just died. I guess it was mom. Was it mom? Mom's death? Yeah. And we were just getting in the truck, and all of a sudden, Peggy had this thought. It just came to her. I hate him. That was what she was thinking. So she expressed it. She just looked over and said, oh, I don't know, maybe you didn't say it. You're just thinking it. Yeah, she was just shocked that she had this thought. You know, I really hate him. And it was great. I mean, I tell you, that is great. And so, you know, that's no big thing. In the kingdom, you just don't respond to something like that. You just go, well, God bless you, sweetheart. It's no problem. I can understand that, you know. But the thing is, I love you. You see how it is? You understand? When someone does an evil toward you, you return good. That's the way it is in the kingdom. You can see you'd have to be dead to do that. Otherwise, you'd defend yourself. Hey, who are you to talk? You know, if she had expressed herself, I'd have stopped that truck right there. You know, we'd have had a real Donnybrook right there. You know, but no, that's the old man. The new man in Christ Jesus, that's not just a theory person. You're not supposed to wait till heaven to play a harp. You're supposed to start right now. Amen? See, the problem with the church today is just a bunch of talk. You know why? Nobody's going beyond three. We're believing in Jesus was good, but we're not believing in ourselves to be good. To be good, you have to be dead. That's why I put that little cross there at the end. Because what you want to do is have no will of your own. Say it, I have no will of my own. My will is to do the Father's will. Jesus said that one day. He said, my will is to do the will of him that sent me. You're a steward. You're on an assignment. You don't do your own will. You don't take care of yourself. Jesus will take care of you. Why defend yourself? You don't need to. You see, I mean, my wife can attack all day long. It doesn't bother me. It's nothing. Who cares? Who cares what she's thinking or feeling or wanting? It's just her flesh. Did you all hear me? I'm dead to that. I don't care. I know she's just trying to say I love you and doesn't know how to get it out. So she says all that other stuff. But I always interpret her tongues. I give the interpretation to her tongues. You know, she meant to say, Peg, were you trying to say you love me? No, she'll say. But I know she's just play acting when she says that. No, what she says like that. I know, oh, that was cute, Peg. What you meant to say was, I love you. I don't, she'll say. And she can do it in such a way that it almost sounds like it's real. You know what I mean? I mean, Barbara, she can sound so real. But I know it's just Sarah Bernhardt. It's just play acting. She's just an actress. She doesn't mean a word of it. It's like when a little kid, you tell him, now you go to bed right now. I hate you. Do you ever hear a little kid say that? I hate you. What they mean is, I want to stay up. They don't mean they hate you. They just mean they can't control you. And they hate it that you control them. That's all they mean. Right? So you don't say anything. You just go like this. If you're a good parent, you just go like this. Oh, I hate you too. Now you get to bed. You just give them a little kiss and send them off to bed. You see what I'm saying? You don't go, I hate you. And you know, you don't do that. Because they're just little kids. All they're meaning is, I want my way. But the best thing for that little child is to go to bed. You all understand? So we need someone over us. That's why God does this. Because we're not God-like yet. We haven't learned yet the language of the kingdom. We're not adapted yet to heavenly light. We're still living in darkness. We have a lot of darkness in us. We're born that way. And he's got to knock it out of us until it's dead. So it doesn't rule. Of course you have a thought that's wrong. Of course you have feelings that are wrong. Of course you have wills that are wrong. You know, I want, well, who cares what you want? Well, I think, well, who cares what you think? Well, I feel, well, we don't want to know what you feel. Well, I just feel it. And people want to express themselves and nobody wants to hear it. Who wants your opinion? Everything today is opinion. Opinion polls. They take opinion. What's your opinion? Who cares what anybody's opinion is? Let's check with God. Let's see what God has to say. He doesn't have an opinion. He has the truth. So truth has three things. It always starts out with holiness. And holiness says, don't be a one. Holiness says, be a two, three, and a four, and then a five. So holiness is the first thing. So that causes me to repent. Mercy causes me to believe. And power causes me to change. So truth is these three things. Truth is holiness. Truth is one, holy, two, mercy, and three, power. Always, always, always. And you want to check out to see if a minister is telling you the truth in love, he will always follow this pattern. First, it should be holy. Second, it has to be merciful. And third, it has to be powerful. If you only have number two, which is what most pastors preach, the only truth most pastors preach is mercy. They'll tell you that the good news, this is a lie. They'll tell you that the good news is Jesus died for you. That's a lie. That's not good news. The good news is that you repent, number one, of this world and its unholiness. The second thing is that he's merciful to those that do repent. And the third thing is he changes those through his power for those that believe. And that's good news. Not only changes you from the inside, character, but on the outside, conduct. Everything should be changed about us. Amen? So the truth is not just a word. Jesus said, I am the truth. Yeah, well, that's because he's holy, merciful, and mighty. God is holy, merciful, and mighty. Why? Because he's love. Why? Because love is truth in action. Love is that truth being ordered 1, 2, 3. It's never 3, 2, 1, or it's never just 2, or it's never just 1. It's never just 3. It's got to be all three of them. You've got to hear the holiness of God that says, I hate sin. I don't want you to have any sin in you. Well, then that's why you have to go to five. It isn't just enough to get out of one. You have to go through two and then three and then four and then five. That's the truth. That's the holiness God wants. He said, you shall be perfect. You shall be holy as I am holy. That was written not only to Israel, it's written to you and I. Amen? Not just imputed. That's not holiness, just imputed. Number three, imputed righteousness is not the only kind of holiness he wants. He also wants actual righteousness. And not only that, but he wants you to do the will of God. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's a five. That's a five. Now, I'm going to just say this. None of you are a five yet in maturity. I'm not either. None of us are mature fives. But in some areas of your life, or you wouldn't be here, in some areas of your life, you're already a five. You're already mature in some areas. In other words, there are some areas where God actually rules in your life and you let Jesus rule through you. Amen? Some. Is that true? Could you say amen? There are some areas of your life where actually you could say, that wasn't me, that was actually God, and I had to die on that one to let him rule through me. I was going to go my own way until I saw his glory and his beauty and so on and so forth, and his holiness and mercy and power transformed me. And beholding him, I was changed from one degree of glory to another. And I know that what I just did, I know that was God. What I just said to you was God. That's an actual five. That's a five. That's really me doing something where I know that's God. I'm not just wanting it to be God. I'm not just believing in God. I'm actually doing the will of God. Let men see your good works so that they might give glory to God in heaven. That's why it's glory. The glory is that you actually did a good work. That is, you were dead, because God can't do a good work in you if you're not dead. Otherwise, you'd do it. You'd have a little to do. You'd add in your little part. No, he wants you completely dead. He wants you to say something like this. Father, I don't want to do my will. I don't want to live for myself. I don't want to defend myself. I don't want to prosper myself. I'll just do whatever you say, and I'll have a great attitude too. Hallelujah! Amen. He picked that up. The smartest kid in this room. Very smart. He knew right away, hey, that hallelujah sounds like me. He likes that. Little kids are ready for that, you see. They understand immediately. You know why? You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you become like a little child. Unless you become like a little child where you don't have a will of your own. You don't have anything. You see, you got to get rid of you. Get you out of the way. You're in the way. You're in the road. And you see, yes, nice to believe. I'm glad everybody believes. But we have to have some people that are not just believing, but are actually doing the will of God. That would be wisdom. That would be wisdom if you would do the will of God and not just believe in it. Well, I want to do the will of God. Well, that's not it either. Now you believe in the will of God, and now you're wanting to do the will of God. It's still not doing it. So, three is not four, and four is not five. How many are actually doing the will of God night and day? I mean, continuously. You're making all-out war until all the sin has gone on from your life. You're never selfish. You're never envious. You're never lustful. You're never angry. You're never bitter. You're never, you know, discouraged. You never give a negative report. Everything out of your mouth is always encouraging. It's always powerful. It's always the truth. It'll always set people free. You're always edifying everyone. Wherever you go, people say, wow, what a blessing. Amen? Now, here's what they often say. Oh, my God, here she comes. You know, is she a loudmouth? You know, or you know, she is so obnoxious. You know, and that's what people are actually saying of us. They ought not to say that we're troublemakers. They ought to say we're peace bringers. People ought to be excited when we walk into a room. Amen? It's only the religious world that hates Jesus. They hate Christians. But in the kingdom of God, you'll be loved. But in this world, you'll be hated. If you're a Christian in this world, you'll be hated. That's what death is all about. That's why number four, I have to keep encouraging you, be a four. Be hated. Rejoice when you're hated. Remember it says, in the world you have trouble, be of good cheer, I'll overcome the world. Remember it says, beware when all men speak well of you. That's death. That's death. That's death. You're not allowed. If somebody gives you a nice comment, you know, what do they call that? A compliment? Yeah. Blow it off. Don't accept it. Just say, yeah, praise the Lord. Don't take it as yourself. Well, Pastor Jim, that was really nice of you. Well, don't accept that. He said, I wasn't nice. I'm not a nice person. Jesus is nice. God's good. I'm not good. Well, but you really helped me right there. I didn't help you. That was the Holy Ghost. Don't thank me. Thank him. Amen? No good thing comes out of me. I'm not doing any good thing. The only thing I'm good for is nothing. Good for nothing. Woo-hoo! Amen? Now, what God wants from me is death. Not, you know, well, I did my best. He doesn't want that. I did my humble thing there. He doesn't want that. That's braggadocious. He wants us to boast in the Lord. So when we boast, we're not boasting on our brilliance. How many here think you're a brilliant person? I mean, you're not as dumb as a rock. You know, you're not like that. You're actually pretty sharp. How many think you're pretty sharp? Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, David. Yeah, Clay? I mean, really, seriously. You actually think you're a smart person? Yeah. 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 I mean, it's obvious. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, you're not dumb like other people are. Don't you notice around you there are people that are so dumb, can hardly believe. It's just like, man, are they foolish? And when you're a little kid, you really think stuff like this. I'm going to never do that when I grow up. I'm not, boy, my parents, they don't know how to do it. When I grow up, it's going to be different. I'm not going to raise my kids the way they just raised me. Has anybody ever thought that? You know, and you thought, you know, hey, I'm going to improve upon, you know, the situation. You're not. You're not going to improve upon it. You're not going to improve upon it. Amen? So, that's not true. Let's do truth. Truth is holy, it's merciful, and it's mighty. You see, when truth does its holy work, Jesus gets killed. And that's where the mercy comes in toward you. He killed Jesus for you. Now you don't have to die. Now, you were born twice. You only have to die once. Because Jesus took your death. That's been paid for. Other people, they don't want Jesus' death. They don't even believe in Jesus' death. So they have to die. Because they won't let Jesus die for them. I took it. So now I only have to die one time. Biological death is nothing but a sleep. The Bible calls death a sleep. My mother died a couple months ago. She just went to sleep. That's all. She's sleeping. She's not dead. I'm not mourning. I'm not, you know, feeling awful about it. She's fine. She's just sleeping. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, we Christians, we sorrow, but we don't sorrow over much, too much. We sorrow. Yes, they're gone. We don't get to talk to them anymore. And I felt bad. I yelled at my mom. Mom, get back here. You know, I did all that. But, you know, that's not really because there's anything wrong. She's fine. She's happy. No more sick. No more, you know, whatever. She's fine. She's fine. I'll see her in a little while. And, you know, great mom. She didn't have to do anything to be great. She's just my mom. All she had to be is my mom. She brought me into the world. It's good enough for me. That was a good thing. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for that. I'm pretty thankful about that. And I had three fathers, as you know, three different fathers, and I thanked all three of them. Thanks for doing your part. Thanks for doing your part. The first one only birthed me, and then he was gone. It didn't even birth me. It just conceived me. And then he was gone. The second one left at four, so he was gone. The third one, you know, he's dead too. They're all dead. But, you know, I thanked them all. The third one whipped me and beat me. Thanked him too. I needed that. Boy, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. That was great. The first guy gave me birth. The second guy, you know, abandoned me, which was a blessing. And the third one, they all did their part. Hello. You know, the one that's never left me or forsaken me is God. Earthly fathers come and go, but God abides forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Till everything be accomplished. It'll happen. And one of the things that God has said is, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Well, that good work is not a three, nor is it a four. It's a five. And it's because of the joy that's set before us. Now, I'm going to make a happy face up here, because it's this joy that's set before us. I'll make it blue. This is what it's all about. who for the joy that set before us endured the cross, despising all the shame. Because that's where I'm heading. I'm going to be just obedient to do the will of God, be like Christ, glorify the Father, walking in the Spirit, led of the Holy Spirit, and getting along with all the church people. That'll be a miracle. I need some power for that. No. What you need is some death. What you need is death. You just need death. Because once you're dead, His power works. His power doesn't work to kill you. His power works to resurrect you. Did you see that? That's interesting. It's actually the mercy of God, the love of God, the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Your death doesn't come because God says, I don't like that. Your death comes because you see how beautiful He is. Your death only comes when you see the glory of God. When you see His love and His mercy that you didn't deserve. It doesn't come because says, I hate what you're doing. That's not how it comes. That's not the death. The death comes when you realize, I don't love like that. I'm not like that. I can't produce that. When you see how beautiful God is, you realize how ugly you are. You will never admit you're ugly until you see His beauty. You see, as long as you think you're good looking, how many here imagine you're good looking? Or at least have the makings of, you know, a little lipstick and rouge, you look good looking. Comb your hair and stuff like that. No, until you've seen Jesus, you don't even know what good looks is. And when you see Him, you realize, whoa, I'm not. There is no one as beautiful as the Lord. The Lord is truly beautiful. And one of the things that makes Him beautiful are the wounds. That's what He endured to love you. And I'm telling you, that's His beauty right there. When you see how He was marred, mangled, and beaten and destroyed because He loved you, that's when you love your parent. You don't love your parent because they're cute looking. You love them because they stuck with you, did everything for you, died so that you could live. Do you all understand that? That's the church we need. We need to have that kind of church, not the kind of church today that just believes or just wants to be. We need to have a church that does the will of God. Actually, truly, truly. Not just saying it. Anybody can say, talk the talk, but it's actually walking the walk. That's what the Scripture says. How many know that sin clingeth to some of us? It's like a race. You have to outrace it. It's kind of like, you know, trying to catch you and all the sin. You have to kind of run so it doesn't get you because it's trying to get you. And you have to just keep running. But if you got a lot of stuff holding you back, it's hard to run. You got to strip down. You got to be almost naked. You got to be vulnerable. You got to realize, you know, I don't want to have any weights on me. Because if you have big weights, imagine trying to run with two big suitcases full of gold. You know, I'm hanging onto this gold. Yeah, but gold is heavy. Especially you got a suitcase full of it. Let it go. I can't. This is my whole life. You know, but you can't run the race. You know, you're trying to run. You know. And it'll kill you. It'll kill you. Just let it go. Let it go and then run. But we want to hang on to all that stuff. It's just dung. When you open it up, just dung. Oh, my God, I thought it was gold. I thought it was gold. It isn't gold. Your death is gold. Live His life. You don't even know what glory is till you let Him glorify Himself through you. I know your flesh doesn't understand that, but so what? Your flesh is never going to understand it. Your flesh just needs to die. You're never going to agree to God. Okay, God, I think I'm ready to be a Christian. No, you're not. You'll never be ready. The only thing God wants to do is kill you. Beholding Him, we are changed. Why? Because you're not alive. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You don't live by being alive. Where do you think your life came from? Who gave you your life? Who keeps you alive? It's God. And He wants you to be a living sacrifice, meaning you take your life that He gave you. Let's imagine this was your life right here. Take the life that He gave you and then hand it back to Him. Here, God, You live my life. I tried. It didn't turn out so good. That's repentance. Repentance is saying, I live my life. I tried to dominate and control other people around me. because I could see what they needed. I tried, but I wasn't very successful. And so I'm pretty much miserable and unhappy and disappointed and so on. Could you live my life? Sure. And he'll just kill you, and then he'll use you. He'll only use resurrected material. The secret to life is dying first. Don't live until you're dead. Dead to this world, alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, you don't know what life is. If you keep it, you lose it. If you lose it, you keep it. You want to save your life? Give it up. Hand it back to the one who made it. Don't just use it any old way. Hey, I could do this with this. Hey, you know, well, you know, you better check with the manufacturer. What was this for? To glorify God. Well, how have you been doing? I don't know. You know, you don't even know how to glorify God. You got to hand it back to him and say, God, I don't know how to use this life. Would you live it for me? He said, no, that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted you to come back to me, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Lord, and let me lord your life. Let me rule, because I know how I made you, and I know for what purpose I made you. Amen? Now, you will not do that unless you believe he's good. If you didn't think God was good, and if you don't see that what Jesus did, that was a full life. There's someone that lived a full life. Well, did he have a good bank account? No. Did he eat well every day? He's all right. But nothing sumptuous. It's just regular stuff. Did he live in a fine home? Nope, he had nowhere to lay his head. I mean, Jesus, he lived a full life. That guy lived an abundant life because he lived for others. His only thought was, why should I live in a mansion while these people are not? I'm going to help them out. Why should I be healthy walking around? I'm going to make sure they're well. You know, if it takes my death to give them life, take it. That's a different way of living. What if you did that? Well, you can't do it in the flesh. You'd have to do it in the spirit. So the only way you can do that is look at him. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. The more I behold what he has done for me, the more I realize I need to do that. That's who I need to be. So first of all, I believe. Second of all, I want to be like him. And third of all, the Holy Spirit needs to kill me. Boy, there's the joy right there. There is the joy of the Lord right there. Joy cometh when you're dead to this world. How many are, you know, and ready? How many are ready for that? Lord, nothing I want more than to be dead to myself and alive to you. Woo-hoo! I'm telling you, it's exciting. It's the only life. Try it the other way. See, try it the other way. Try living your life in your own control. Try it. Everything you run, you'll ruin. Everything you run, you'll ruin. Everything you try to control will turn awful. You ever try to control somebody? You ever try to control people? Hey, just listen to me right here. You know, have you ever tried to do that? It doesn't work. People are just, they just, you, it's like herding cats. All right, stay in line, you guys. Okay, all right, you know, and you just can't. Get back. You can't. Cats won't be herded. Has anybody ever tried? You cannot. They just won't. You cannot control them. God wants you to quit. Just relax. Just rest. You got a God that's real, a real God. He's not putting any burden on you. He doesn't want to put any burden on you. He already showed you how to die. He left you an example. Here's his example. Follow him. Follow me, he said, through holiness, through mercy, through power, until you're just like me. So I want to submit to Jesus. I want to give him my life. Why? Well, I think it's better than the way I've been doing it. So I repent of mine. I believe on him. I want to do the will of God. Now, the only question is doing it. Well, how's that going to happen? After I'm dead. Ah, there's a problem. Could I stay alive and kind of watch how that works? No. No. You know, the problem with our death is it's so final. That's the problem. What if I don't like it? What if I don't, you know, well, then look, if you don't like it, don't do it. Stay alive. Stay running your life. See if you can make a go of it. How many have tried to make a go of running your own life and you found out it ain't that good? You know, you just found out, man, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not getting anywhere. You can try to dominate and control people, but you're not a good God. That job is reserved for God alone. Only God knows how to have a wife. Only God knows how to have a husband. Only God knows how to have a church. Only God knows how to run things. None of us know anything. How long has it taken us to realize that? It isn't enough just to repent once. You got to repent every day. Repentance is not a one-time event. It's a daily, continual, constant death. I die daily, Paul says. I die daily. What's he talking about? Physical death? No. He's talking about living sacrifice. He's talking about number five, where you actually let Jesus love Peggy through me, not me loving Peggy. Because Peggy will sometimes ask me, do you love me? That's a trick question, see? Do I love you? You really want to know? You see, that's not a good one. But here's the answer, is Jesus in me does. Me is a little different, but Jesus in me. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes, I want to kill you. Ever felt like that? It's kind of a thing. There are times when I want to choke her. I mean, really. As a pastor, I want to choke her as a pastor, of course. For her good and our good. You know. But you see, that's the flesh. That's the flesh. You have to die. See, Christ in me loves you. Christ in you loves me. Right now. Perfect. Don't have any guilt over that at all. Clay loves me totally. But in his flesh, he doesn't. His flesh will never love me. The only thing good for his flesh is die. He needs to go into the fire, into the furnace, till all his flesh is dead. See, you've noticed that too. So, you know, God wants all of our flesh to be dead, but he won't take it from you. You've got to willingly, voluntarily yield it. And you won't do that unless you see how beautiful he is, unless you see how loving he is, unless you see how powerful he is. Where is his holiness? Where is his mercy? And where is his power? You need to see it every day. That's the order of truth. Truth has an order. Truth has three parts. Love is truth in action. It's speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. How many know God is love? But because he loves you, he doesn't just say repent. Because he loves you, he doesn't say just believe. Because he loves you, he doesn't say just do. You could do legalistically and not believe. That wouldn't be doing. You could believe but not repent. I believe in Jesus, but I don't repent of my own sin. Well, that's not believing. In order to do it the way God wants, you first of all have to repent, then believe, then do. That order is something that David and I as pastors have to watch over carefully. Otherwise, we'd be satisfied if you just legalistically did stuff. Well, that wouldn't be God. Legalism is not God. Okay, I'll do it. We don't want that. We don't want that. We're not looking for that. We don't want people to pay their tithe. Pay up. We don't want that. We want you to do it cheerfully. Yahoo! When you pay up, do it cheerfully. Could I have a receipt? It's not easy to get this. You got to be dead. You got to rejoice. You know, when I became a believer, no one talked me into tithing. When I became a believer, no one taught me about how tithing works or whatever. I'd heard about it. But that wasn't it. The issue was, when I became a believer, I just fell in love with Jesus. I wanted to do everything I could for Jesus. Not 10% or 11 or 12 or 15 or 20. I just wanted to give him everything. I just fell in love. When you fall in love, you don't count. There's no counting. That's why there's no tithing in the New Testament. The only word for tithing in the New Testament is talking about the Old Testament. There isn't anything in the New Testament because you're not under a law. There is no law. It's not 10, it's not 5, it's not 7, it's not 15. There isn't any word. It's just give as a cheerful giver. What's a cheerful giver? One that's not hurt. One that's not, okay, I'll give it. You know, do I get back 100-fold? That's the faith kind of teaching. That's not God's teaching. Do I get 30, 60, or 100-fold back? It's not an investment. You're giving because you're grateful. You're thankful. You're cheerful. Hey, you know why? God has given me everything. And whatever I give, I'll get back a hundredfold. He said that. I don't have to even worry about it. I don't have to even think about it. The more you give for the kingdom, the better it's going to be. But I don't need to count it. I don't need to look at it, check it, keep accounts. Just trust the Lord. Now, if God has given you something, it isn't yours to give. You better ask him, God, how much should I give? He might say, don't give any. Let's say you can't pay your rent. Well, God, I want to give you the tithe, and I can't pay my rent. Oh, I see. So now you blessed God, but you're a thief against the landlord. Or you're going to be thrown out in the street, but you please God. You better make sure it's Jesus. It might be that Jesus is not broke, you know. You better find out whether that's really Jesus or not. There's no answer to it. Somebody said, well, I know the answer to that. No, you don't. Nobody knows the answer. You got to ask Jesus. Jesus might not. He might want you to pay your bills. He might want you to trust him. Who knows what he's going to do? He's the Lord. There's no rule on that. There aren't any rules. We're not under rules. We don't come to church on Sunday because it's a rule. The Jewish people do, but we don't. That's their thing. If they want to go under rules, let them go under rules. We're not under rules. We're led by the Spirit. What does the Spirit say? There's no simple answer. The answer is whatever glorifies God, whatever love is. But what is it? I better check with the guy who is love. Not check with my own, well, I'd feel good if I do this. Well, who cares what you feel? You have to check with God. God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Anything. Whatever. I belong to you. I've been purchased. Bought with a price. How many here know that you've been bought with a price? You aren't your own. You don't get to decide. Okay, if you want to just be a juvenile, just repent and believe. 2 and 3. Stop right there. Now you're immature, but you're a Christian. It's okay. Don't move off of that if that's where you want to stay. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. It was never God's will that you just be a 2 or 3. It was always his will that you be a 4 and a 5. But it doesn't have to be right away. Take your time. Go slowly until you're ready to go all the way. But I know this, that God intends for you to be mature in Christ. Paul said, every man mature in Christ. Well, every man is every man. The women are okay with the men. That's the problem in the church today is the men. Amen? And so it's the men. If the men were mature, the women would be right there because they're already mature. How many know the women mature before men? It's the men that are slow. Amen? You didn't see all that. Praise God. No, every man means every male and female, everybody. It means we're all mature in Christ. Everybody is to be mature in Christ. But we don't have leaders today that understand these truths in this order. Truth is holy, merciful, and mighty. And anybody teaches a truth, I always check out. Did they start with holiness? Did then they go on to, you know, believing through mercy? And then did they go on to power through the Holy Ghost indwelling? You see, Jesus was a holy example, a merciful Savior, and a powerful Lord. Same pattern. Holy, merciful, and mighty. There it is. There's the love of God. Now, that's the truth of the love of God. Speaking the truth in love.